Tomorrow morning, the power elite of American politics, business, and journalism will gather at the Washington National Cathedral for the funeral of Katharine Graham. She died last week at the age of 84. In 1963, following the death of her husband, Graham took over a second-class newspaper in the most important capital in the world. Her father had owned the Washington Post, a local paper which struggled to stay alive when there were more newspapers in town. Today, Katharine Graham's son, Donald, runs the Washington Post Company, a multi-billion-dollar media conglomerate that includes newspapers, Newsweek magazine, radio and television stations, as well as internet enterprises. It can now be argued that the Washington Post is eclipsed only by the New York Times for the scope of its influence over American politics, business, society, and culture. Alex S. Jones is director of the Joan Shorenstein Center on the Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He's the co-author with his wife, Susan E. Tift, of The Trust, the private and powerful family behind the New York Times. Alex Jones joins us from member station WGBH in Boston. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Leanne.
As I just said, the Times and the Post are pretty much the preeminent big city papers. They're both family-owned. What do you think is the likelihood that either of these companies is going to succumb to the Gannets or the AOL Time Warners of the world?
Well, I think they're very unlikely to, both of them, for two very good reasons, really. First, the family culture of both is to keep this stewardship in the hands of the family, and they look at it that way. And second, though both families have structured their companies, so on the one hand, they're huge public companies, but in both cases, they are controlled by a very small amount of heavily voting, you know, sort of weighted stock that elects a majority of the board. So they can control the company without having to own the majority of the shares of stock. And that makes it much more likely that they can keep the control in their hands.
So what's special about that as opposed to a newspaper that's held by a corporation? What does a family bring?
Well, one of the things you left off about my resume is that I'm fourth generation in a family newspaper in East Tennessee called the Greenville Sun that's still in my family. My father is 86 and goes to work every day. Mm-hmm. And my two brothers are there. So I'm declaring my prejudices from the start. But I think that I think there's no question that although there is a dwindling band of us, I think it does make a difference simply because you can make decisions on a different basis. Financial decisions on the basis of something beyond what the analysts say. I'll give you an example. In 1987, when the stock market crashed, the New York Times in the next 5 years lost about almost half of its advertising quantity. And in all those years, each year, year to year, the budget for the newsroom went up. Now, there's not another newspaper company saving perhaps the Washington Post in the country that would make a decision like that. That's a kind of decision that's a family decision. It's not a corporate kind of decision.
Hmm. What about then the standards, the journalistic quality and the integrity? Do you think there's really a big difference between a family-owned newspaper and one that is owned or held by a corporation?
I think there is. I'm prejudiced again, but I think there's plenty of evidence to suggest it. I give you an example again. Probably the most important journalistic moment in this century was not actually Watergate. It preceded Watergate. It was the Pentagon Papers, the decision by the New York Times to publish these documents, which were classified in defiance of government wishes, about something that the newspaper considered to be very important for the American people. The only two other newspapers in the country that followed suit were the Washington Post and the Boston Globe. At that time, both owned by families. The Boston Globe has since been purchased by the New York Times Company. I know that Daniel Ellsberg, the person who made these tapes available or the materials available that the Pentagon Papers reporting was done on, approached all three television networks. They declined. Why? Because they were afraid. And I think that the culture of the place was very different. I think that the decision that Katharine Graham made to go ahead and publish the Pentagon Papers when the New York Times had been enjoined not to was the probably most courageous moment of her fledgling publisher's career and really set the tone and the pace for what the Washington Post became.
The reality, though, of newspapers in this country now is that 50 years ago you had city newspapers that were family-owned, and now most of them have been shut down or actually bought up by these conglomerates. What's the future of family-owned newspapers like yours?
Well, I would say that we're, you know, some of the last dinosaurs in the swamp. I mean, there's no question that we're falling out. And really, it's not hard to understand why. Back in the 19th century, newspapers were a living. They were not an industry. I mean, it was a way for a family to make a living, and the newspapers changed hands. But when technology, printing technology and typesetting technology made newspapers something you could make a significant profit on, all of a sudden, they became a different kind of business. And every time one was sold, it was sold into a corporate environment by people who were building chains. And, you know, there are not many of us left. That's true. But the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal, which I think are considered to be the best newspapers in the country, are all family newspapers. Now, the Bancroft family that controls the Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones is a very retiring family. They don't run the newspaper the way the Grahams and the Sulzbergers do. But nevertheless, it's a family business.
Do you think in popular culture, for example, that Americans might have an idea about family-owned newspapers that kind of resides in the movie Citizen Kane? I mean, we always think about family-owned newspapers and wonder what it is in the gene pool that makes people in these families qualified to run newspapers.
Well, I think in a funny way, the ones that are left now are more dedicated to their newspapers than others. That's not across the board, but I think it's really true. And I think also that in a way you have to think of it as something of a miracle, because the fact that the New York Times and the Washington Post, these two critically important newspapers to our society, are in the hands of families that think of them this way. If you get religious, you should say your prayers and say thank God, because it's the world could be quite different.
Alex S. Jones is director of the Jones Shorenstein Center on the Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He joined us from the studios of WGBH in Boston. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.